Hello, dear listeners. This is Scala Valentine's podcast, episode 4. And today we want to start with a quick promotion of an event which will take place on October 13th by Manning Group. I hope you all heard about Manning. They're doing beautiful books about Scala as well. So cloud navigators and serverless gurus, algorithm sources and community advocates, we're proud to bring you the women creating the tech world we live in. So that's going to be a fantastic conference on October 13th, free online. It's a Twitch conference. Okay, let's move to our beautiful language, Scala. And first news that we want to discuss is Dota release 0.27. And the most important part of it is that we welcome Scala.js support.
Yep, and I guess that is basically it. It also contains multiple bug fixes, improvements, so you can get familiar with it following the link we'll leave in the show notes. But also, like talking about like Scala Free in general, I am following Michael Pilquist, and I strongly recommend you to follow him as well. That is not an advertisement, actually. But he mentioned in his Twitter that in Dotty, there is a negation of implicit storage implemented. So what does that mean? So imagine you have a function that requires to have an implicit being passed as an argument. And this function can be called only and only in the case where this implicit exists in the function call scope. However, Dotty will provide a special word not. So if you want to call a function that in the scope that does not have some implicit, you can use this word. And so we'll leave links to everything in the show notes. You can also follow the thread, the Twitter thread, and Michael even uses it in FS to streams. So that is extremely cool and interesting.
Yes, I want to emphasize this. This not is treated specifically in implicit search. So it's similar to logical negation, you just simply, that will work only if something is not present in implicit scope.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next thing up about the language, we found a new repository on GitHub Scala Library Next. And we're excited about that, even though it's currently empty. But I think they're going to bring everything that is related to compatibility of Scala versions, and that's going to be the source of truth for that.
Yep. So they say that it will contain all backwards binary compatible Scala standard library editions. So if something would be aimed to be backwards compatible, hopefully it will be reflected in this repository.
What do you think about the name in Scala Library Next?
I don't know. I have, that's a little bit ambiguous for me. I found it accidentally by just following GitHub stars. So that was an extreme, I didn't expect it.
Okay. So I'm thinking about like Scala Library future. They discussed that, but it seems to me like they should be like Scala Library next generation, Scala Library next generation, newest, the brand new, the real brand new, and things like that for future versions.
You know, you reminded me about an MTV TV show. I think it just was called Next. So why not? Scala Library Next can be a popular name. That was not about programming languages. Maybe we won't cut it. That was a time of mediocre jokes. Right.
Okay. The next, we want to share a few knowledge bits with you. Leo Benkel created the website with knowledge bits, and these are simple for newbies, and the main idea that he brought is that he will post periodically some new exercises so that you can slowly build up knowledge about Scala. And he embedded Scasti into those exercises. So, for example, you can learn about Scala Cari and do it in your browser directly. So that's really interesting. We hope he will post more soon.
Exactly. And this can be extremely useful for newcomers who are interested in, well, how to use FlatMap and what does it even mean? And yes, here would be an example and a compilable example. And you can even try to modify it and to play around with it a little bit.
Okay, next, not for Scala newcomers, but for functional programmers, newcomers who wants to start functional programming. John DeGose posted a new article about functional design, and he goes over what that is and what is immutable data types, how do you model functional code solutions, the domains of interest. He goes like over where functional programming greatly applicable and things like that. That's of course it is based on Zio library, but still one can find a lot of interesting information in that.
Is it different from other articles about functional design? It looks like he already had something like that a while ago. I don't really remember. I don't recall any details. But it seems to me that it's not the first article in such fashion. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know, actually. There are a lot of books about functional design, right? Functional Design and Modeling by Debashish Ghosh. Then a lot of books from Haskell community about functional design. I don't know how they differ from each other. I mean, a lot of them based on different type of stack and focuses on a little bit different things. And of course, you can put more things into a book than in an article, but maybe it's a good recap.
Perfect.
Yeah. So speaking about books, we found a new book and purchased it. Grisha purchased it. Things You Need to Know About GVM. And I'm very excited about this because I think this is something we definitely need in Scala community, because a lot of books that we have around there about how to teach Scala itself, and they're not paying a lot of attention to GVM as a platform. And this book focuses on this.
Yeah, so we talk about things you need to know about GVM that matter in Scala by Matheus Kupczak. I hope I'm pronouncing it correct. And this will guide us and dive us into the depths of the GVM, like what is GVM, what are primitives, what are references, what kind of operations are possible in GVM, how GVM handles memory, describes what kinds of classes that are present in the GVM. We're not talking exactly about the Scala language, but in general, what GVM can do, what is specialized, what is thread in, for instance, how parallel is different from the concurrent. It also has a chapter about how garbage collection works, about types of garbage collections, and everything is collected in a single book.
Fantastic, right? I'm very excited about this, and I want the author, Matheus, to be a guest at Scala Lab to discuss his book more in depth. I hope he will not refuse my offering. So if you hear us, please come.
Yep, it will be extremely exciting for me to hear what he can tell us, because walking through the book briefly, it looks like it's kind of an obvious thing to build up such a book, but it's extremely complicated since it covers even tooling, how to read the bytecode of Java, how Java P is different from Scala P. But no one before collected everything in a single place and just talked about it. For instance, I even don't know where to find all the GVM flags like right now, except this book. Well, what I will do, I will Google probably, or we'll try to find some Oracle docs, well, Java docs somewhere, just if I need some flag. But here, there is even a table with like flags that are discussed in this
book. Yeah, appendix. I thought it was really useful and to have in one place.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit this Scala plugin. Well, yeah, I think it was inspired by Rob Norris flags that he used in his projects. And it reminds me a little bit of this Scala plugin that allows you to use all the flags that are necessary to be used in production.
Yeah.
With some like brief explanations for sure.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move to releases.
Yep, so
you start.
All right, I'll start. Sorry, Ollie. Yep, so in releases, we'll start releases with HTTP client of version 3. And I think a couple of days ago, the RC1 version released. So, and what happened? The entire release is aimed towards simpler API and simpler interfaces. There's even the entire article on software meal blog posts, and we'll leave the link to them that in show notes. But in general, what is interesting to me in particular is that the WebSockets API became much more simplified. And I just remember like how I tried to use WebSockets before and was like kind of painful in Scala. But right now, like just looking through the whole API changes done in the library, it looks pretty nice and readable, and the entire release will try to simplify API, try to simplify interaction with FS2 streams, with ZIO streams, or with Monix observables, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, try it out. All right, what's next? Native images. Generate native images directly from your project with SBT native image release. This is the, I believe Olaf worked on this. And the idea is that you can generate a native image seamlessly without headaches.
Yep, so you don't need to install GraalVM on your machine, or you don't need to spin up a Docker container to build up your jar. So GraalVM plugin will install GraalVM native image using CoreSphere. It supports Scala 2.12, 2.13, and it should be, well, at least in docs, it's written here that just running a single command will help you to build up a complete native image that will work.
Yes. That's great. Also, speaking of native images, we found an SBT native client.
Yeah, I think a while ago, like a month ago, a volunteer, I don't remember who, but someone contributed into SBT and created a pull request with adding a GraalVM native image thing client for SBT. And there was some discussion in Twitter by Eugene, how we should name this new client. Should it be SBTC, like SBT client, or SBTB, SBT bridge, or SBT
native?
SBTB is called, by the way. Yeah, we'll have a conference soon.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, registration will soon be open, and I would love to see you there. Sorry for this quick promotion of the conference I'm producing, but that's the love we live. On this note, I guess we went through all our news. So thank you for listening.
Thanks, everyone. And we're getting better in the integration of our advertisement messages. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.